I think the topic is trying at mission, missionary. You know, the two words that come to mind. I want to point out something that may be a little startling, and I hope it's not offensive to anybody. And I want to take those words across to other words that we're so conditioned to, and somehow we think they're biblical. Because I believe in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says all scripture. I believe that means Genesis 1:1. What's the last verse in the Bible? Revelation 22, and subtract 1, 21. So in other words, the entire Old and New Testament, I believe, is all scripture. I also believe that this is not just one book of the Bible means revelation, revealing of. I believe that all of this has been revealed by God to man. And that's what makes us different, by the way, than all other so-called religions. I don't believe we have a religion. I believe we have a person more than a religion. It makes us different because it's men serving God. And later on, I'll share that with being in the middle of a lawmaking situation again where you just feel that and see it in the lives of people. Trying to be good, trying to do certain things whether I want to or not, but then come love God or leave me alone. And that's the kind of God we have. We don't want our God to leave us alone. We don't. First of all, He loves us. Revelation certainly means a revealing, and it's a special book because Jesus Christ Himself came and revealed it to John. All scripture is revealed by revelation. And it's a revelation of Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ is in Genesis 1:1.
In the beginning, God, Hebrews, plural, the plural there, the Trinity, we see right away.
We want to think in terms of this as being certainly Jesus Christ.
Well then, if this is the Bible, this is the truth, this is the Word of God, then we need to be careful about other words and concepts that we have.
Let's take some that are very familiar to us.
Christmas. Christmas is not biblical. The incarnation of God is. But we use that word, I'm not suggesting you have to cross it all off. We have to go back to it as pagan. And many of the things that come with it are pagan as well. And let's take Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is biblical. The triumphal entry is something that was written there in the subtitle of the Bible. Jesus entering Jerusalem certainly is. And all the things that we teach about that certainly is true. But the title is given to it. This Ash Wednesday, that's not biblical. Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter is not, because Easter is the morning utility God. Their terminology can be careful about using, because it ties us right into the secular of pagan. Well, saying all that, missions and missionaries are in that category as well. And even the word Christian, think about this. Think of the verse in John 14:6. Right? Jesus said, I am the way,
right?
And then what did he say? The what? Truth and life. Now think about that. They're in a certain order. For reasons. Things in the Bible in an order are there for a very important reason. People were known as the people of the way. The people in the Old Testament times, and even by the Muslims today, referred to the Jews as the people of the book. Yes. So we actually are the people of the way. But in Antioch, people started calling those people what? Christians, right?
Yeah.
Christians. That was the name given by the pagans. I'm not suggesting we take it away, but whatever. No, because even in Acts it says they were first called Christians in Antioch. Okay. But the point is, technically it's not a revealed term that God gave. Right? Okay. And then we have truth, because if we know the way and accept that truth, we have life. Right? And that's what I want to present today about missions and missionaries. Because I think there's some false things there, and there are some things that are omitted as well. So remember, God is very concerned about those two areas. At the end of Revelation, when we read, anybody who takes away or adds to, both are bad. There's a sin of omission. Many times we forget about that. We're so busy trying not to get drunk, trying not to have sex, trying not to do this, trying not to do that, all the sins of the flesh, that we violate the sins of the Spirit, which are much more important to God. The Old Testament talks more about idolatry than it does sexual sin. Because if we don't have the idol, and we're truly worshiping God and have that relationship with God, these other fleshly things are going to fall in the right place. Well, it's the same thing with missions. Now, think of a verse in the Bible that people use a lot when it goes to missions. The concept of missions. And that's what I want to use. I'm going to use God's word and his idea, because I think that will give us a better picture of what this is all about. Matthew 28, verse 18. And again, there are three things, and they're in a specific order. First, we're to make disciples, then we're to baptize, and then we are to teach. Now, so many times we talk about evangelizing, missionizing, like Jesus said, make disciples. What did Jesus do? He's our model. He made disciples. Right?
Yes.
And the baptism is comes after that. Baptism is not salvation, but it's the making of disciples. It's a one-on-one in small groups and working with people. My life being built into the life of another person. Not throwing the Bible in their face, not throwing the Bible tract in their face and walking away. It's building relationships. And the word go in Greek is very different than it is in English. And it's a bad translation. It's one of the bad translations. It really means as going. Now, what does as going mean?
While you travel, you have something, you're carrying something while you travel.
So that means there's moving, right? Like you're moving. So where? Your life. If God leads your life, as you're going, you're sitting on a plane. You don't want to talk to somebody. God may open the door. And that's my view, is that the Holy Spirit prompts what God wants discipleship to take place. And we have to understand that discipling doesn't mean throwing the whole book at them or whatever else. It can be when they ask a question and we give the answer to the question they're asking the pastor. We need to find out the question they're asking. It could be a simple thing I had on planes and somebody said, what book are you reading? That was such a good book to read. Yeah, sometimes it's oddball changing. Or if it's the Bible, I don't know if they mean the book in the Bible or the book itself. But they're just trying to get something going. And many times I've read this is a very, very wonderful thing. And I want to show you that that's what works in Morocco as well. Okay, so now let's go back to this again, the Great Commission. Where did he say all this should take place? This is very important. If I write down here, can you see it?
Yeah.
Okay. What did he say? You are to do it where? Way over there? Well, where do you start? Okay, but he said you start in Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then you go out to?
Samaria, that's outside.
No, Judea.
But Judea.
And then you go to Samaria.
Yeah.
And then you go to the world. Alright, notice we got 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so I went from here to there. Okay?
So you went to Jerusalem before you went to Morocco?
What I'm saying is, I was home,
my home area,
and I went over here. Now, in my life, have I ever been in Judea and Samaria? Now, I'm not saying I went to the city of Jerusalem. Okay, let's parallel to us. This would be home. Okay, and Judah is your
Our city, neighborhood.
Neighborhood, probably. Could be friends, neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably more to the city.
City, county, yeah.
Mm-hmm. State, whatever. More into your own, maybe language areas and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then
totally sort of cultural.
You might say more to the core.
Right.
Now, if you know my life, I've been in all these for years. When I was in Saudi Arabia, I was not a Christian. But I have served in Mexico and on the reservation as a missionary, and now in Morocco. So I'm just trying to show you that I didn't just jump from here to there. But in the thinking of most people in churches, I would say that I've interacted with, they don't believe that somebody is fulfilling this commission. I don't want to use that word mission, but filling that commission unless they go here. See the problem? And that's the mindset. And so people who are here are placed up here. You're working down in your neighborhoods with people, or people in your own church, discipling them, coming alongside them, praying with them. That doesn't seem to have value in the mind of people, because the culture is very similar. But if I came in dressed like the Moroccan people, and little kids are here, the same thing, but somehow that has more value. But you have to ask yourself this question. Does God, does it? No. Does it, God? Absolutely not. So, I don't want to be held in any particular esteem. The only thing that I want to measure is by what? And that you should measure by. What?
By Jesus.
Okay, what is it? No, just start with. Are you being how did I get there? Why did I go there? Did I just decide I wanted to go? What? Okay, well, okay, led, and what do we call that?
Commission.
We call it a calling. Okay, now, if you have a calling, you can say yes or no. Ignore it, do whatever else. So what should you, if you really have a calling, what should you simply do? Hold it. Hold it. With God, it's obedience to His calling. And so it doesn't matter what God called you to. Let's not place values on what God called this person to and that person to. If you're called to be a leader, fine. Then you better honor the calling. And in Timothy it says, you're held to a higher standard. So don't want to be in leadership unless God called you to leadership. And I think this is what's so sad, is in our churches in general, we've got people aspiring to be in leadership. If you've ever been in leadership, I certainly have, and the enemy targets you more. I've had more oppression, more unrest, and struggle on stepping up into certain leadership. And the same thing is going to be true of a calling to this. But we're all called. So I don't look at this as something that different. I look at it as just an extension of my Christian life. And I think that's so important that we have that foundation in our thinking. So that we don't put different people in different categories. Because God is all love. The only difference is, are we obedient or are we disobedient? And I think that when we miss the calling because we get scared and so on and so forth, I searched and searched because I had that attention. Okay, but you know what? I don't think it's the biggest deal to God, and I'm saying this in quotes, it's my feeling, to God, whether I want or not. Because I think that I would miss a blessing. Right here and now, in this life, I believe that I would have missed a blessing. And I do think you need to be certain of the call, because it can be very difficult, especially in some environments for the sake of God's law. Okay, any questions or comments about that? That's the introduction. Does that give you some different perspectives of looking at the same evaluation?
Yeah.
Missionaries? Okay. Now I want to give some reflection on what you can see on, quote, the mission field. You can see it right here in Jerusalem or in Judea as well. Any of those areas you can see it. But somehow, as you go out into that world, the accountability issue rises big. You don't ever, ever, ever want to be in a position, especially in Christian work, where there's no accountability. Certainly, we want to be accountable to God first, but God establishes accountability levels, doesn't it? You can see it throughout the scripture. Elders, pastors, board, whatever it is. And different churches have different systems, but there needs to be accountability. And there needs to be accountability within the leadership. Not just being accountable to the people of what we're serving and vice versa, but within. And that I have seen on three world missions that I've been involved in. Same problem. It's a lack of accountability. How did this happen? I think it happened for several reasons. Can you think of one big reason why accountability doesn't exist, or it's very poor?
But if you won't be accountable, then you have to be accountable.
Okay. So, say that another way now. That then that person is going to be fearful that the spotlight is going to be on them too, right?
Yes.
Okay. So it can be fear.
Right.
Now what else? Is it possible that somebody calls themselves?
Oh, they did not know the mission.
Yeah. That God didn't really call them, that it's a self-calling? Why? And why would they be self-called? What would motivate them to want to go?
Because they want the accolade. They want people to call you sacrifice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Attention. You look good. I found that some people were looking for me. Husband, wife.
Thinking,
oh, yeah, I met one guy who's been there 3 years and has been engaged 3 times. And all 3 women broke it up. And I said, he's not ready for anything.
No, I can't. What would you want to do? I don't understand.
Well, I actually had to sign a statement that I wouldn't date any Moroccan for the first year. But obviously, that's a problem, right? Cross-culture, they want to know the culture. So in other words, if you are not fulfilled in who Jesus, don't go. Work your problems out at home in Jerusalem. Don't try to take them out there and work them out, because I'll guarantee you'll go insane. you will be messed up because you're going to have attacks anyway. You must be strong in the Lord. You must test yourself to make sure that it is the calling of God, not rush into things. So that's one thing. Failure at home. I ran into teachers that were either excellent teachers, no problem. Other teachers had nothing but problems playing in the street, letting the children, and they take the city to children and not to destroy the administration. They're incompetent. In their profession, they're incompetent. See, when you go into many countries, you can't go, quote, as a missionary. Have to go as a worker, a tent maker. You have to have a job, and you have to have that approved by the government, so you can't get into the country other than it serves. So, that's why they operate schools and things to give us a base so we can so-called, so there are a lot of things that you have to be careful with. If you're advising people, and you think there's a call to this, a call to that, I don't care if the call to something in Jerusalem, or in Judea, or Samaria, then you have a little more control and sense of accountability, or if you're trying to make a mistake, you can stay back in without, you know, too much. But you get into the world, or a foreign country, and you say, you've got other things for you. You've got to talk to people. Almost everybody will sit. I think you're sick and failing right here. But now it's God and some of the others. So you better make sure you have that calling. And then when you are going to be on a field, you're going to have team members. And that's where the difficulty is. I did not get problems with people that claimed influence. They didn't claim anything. The people who claimed Christ. They were worth the abuses of the children. They were the most destructive, sort of discord, lying about people, trying to put people against each other.
But maybe they're really not. They profess just because they profess Christ doesn't mean they should walk with it.
No, they obviously weren't. And they were over there for who knows what reasons. Right. If they took that back into the public sector here, into the education, those people couldn't pass an interview probably, and they wouldn't be able to hold a job. But you see, they could go over there because they're desperate to get their citizens. And that may not be true of other fields, but that's one situation when you're in those countries where you're a tent maker. So, hopefully, you're going to be able to find a God filled with privilege. God is trying to have those people there. And you seem to connect with them in prayer. Pray with them. Okay, so there can be that. So you need to be checking yourself and not worry about all the other things. Right? It's you and God. You need to keep what God has called you to do, and you can get all sucked up into something and lose sight of your calling. Remember, you got the calling, you and God. Now you have people that send, right? So you have the calling, and then you have the sending. Now, who is involved in the sending? Okay, and where would they be? In Jerusalem, or Judea, or Jerusalem? Okay, there in Jerusalem. So you've got to have a sending group. And what is part of the sending? Before they actually send you. In other words, you have a partnership, right? Between the calling and the sending. There's like a marriage here. Okay? That should be there. What are main things that are involved in the sending? Of what? What do you do? Okay, let's call that what? Spiritual? Right? So we're seeing spiritual, and that usually involves Now, prayer is not just in the getting the set to go, and just in the laying hands on and sending out, it's also continuous. And that's what I want to thank you people for. There were others, but there were a lot of people here that prayed for me. And I felt more of ascending with you people and this church and the people from all the village. Right? Other than that, sometimes that might be involved. Right. In my case, it was a tent making. It provided a salary. And then I had to pay back to the school to stay there and everything. And because I do have to retire, I didn't have to raise a great deal of money. They do want people to be involved so that there is prayer and those kinds of things for them. So, did that cover pretty much what's involved in the things? Well, the accountability. So, once the person is sent, there's communication going back and forth. Right? And hopefully, the warrior is going to be that there's accountability there. You got accountability on the field and between the field and the center.
Well, biblically speaking, when the disciples sent out people, they laid the hands on me at the time of prayer. And Paul, a couple of times, says, I'm coming to pick up support for it. And he gave me what the support was supposed to be. That's all biblical. You just don't send somebody over there and say, well, God bless you, and you're not.
Exactly. And the other beautiful part of this, I believe very strongly in, whether it's this, a combination of that you are involved in that call. See, it's like a military. I think this is a very good way, and you may know the statistics better than I, but I'm just going to use these, and I might be wrong. I think 80% is behind. We need the people in Jerusalem to be praying, to provide the foundation. When the military goes out and they're out on the front line, it's a small percent compared to that behind to support them, to keep the food coming, their ammunition, all those things. Isn't it somewhere in this great show?
It used to be, remember I got out of service about 1959, but it used to be that for every person on the line, there was 12 behind him.
Okay, so 1 in 12. So that would be 1 in 12. So that would be, it might be 37. Somewhere in there, right? But it's a lot more. The minority is out. All right. So you're not going to be sending out half the people from your church to the world. Especially if you have neglected Jerusalem, your own body, and Judea, your community, and so on. Right? I don't think God's going to call people from a church, a local body, to go out to the world if you have neglected your own.
That's true.
Right. And when I've been in other churches, and young people are taking a trip to some folk mission field for the summer for 3 weeks or 4 weeks, the first thing I ask each of them, what are you doing now? Who have you told about Jesus in the last year?
Nobody.
God's not called you, though. It's not you. I can tell you that. They're going for an adventure as a tourist.
Yeah.
And that's what I saw in Morocco. Every time we had a week off for something, people were on the plane over to Spain, over to Italy, and some other place in Africa, and they came back and they had all their shopping and everything. And I thought, now, if these people back at their home are supporting, I wonder what they're doing.